It's a festival. Nobody's working except for some of the watch who are still patrolling the borders. This is, this is festival time.
We do spend half the morning in line to get into the parking lot.
It wouldn't be so bad, but there's a lot of horseless carriages here. Whoa, whoa, whoa. No one said anything about button press.
You don't have OBS set up?
Oh, it's been set up for quite some time now. Me saying no one said anything about button pressing was how I started the recording.
Of course it was.
Of course.
There is a tradition to a poll in which I make jokes about pressing the button.
Greetings, one and all. Welcome in. My name is Paul, and I will be the GM for tonight for Tales of Talverin. This is a Fantasy World sandbox of my own creation, and I am honored that the players were interested in the backstory and have asked me to GM. Those fine players are Beth, Crash, Ellie, and Eo. Hi, players.
Hi.
Don't forget Paul, he's here too.
Who, Paul? Paul's here?
I know, he owes you $5.
With interest. Since it is session one, and before I get into the narrative of setup here for you, why don't we take a moment for each other and our listeners to talk about our characters, their names, what they look like, and a general background. It doesn't have to be all the nitty-gritty, just sort of the general stuff that other people around you and your peers here who are, you know, all in your tile draw class, so to speak, would know. Let's start with Crash.
Well, I am playing Edgar Eddie Endelson, and he is the youngest of four children. And based on what his older siblings have been doing in previous tile draws, that will be explained later, he's fairly certain that he's not going to be left in charge of the farm, which meant that he's been loaned out in various places to help out on other farms on occasion. He didn't need to know how to run the farm that his family was on specifically. So that's led to him being fairly decent at handling animals, not bees. We're not going to get into that. Some bad experiences there. But also patching people up. He's pretty good at first aid and medicine, in part because of the animal handling. He is not actually a very strong person. He's 5 foot when he's wearing boots and 100 pounds if he is soaking wet. He's got light brown hair, brown eyes, and would pretty much fade into the background in most situations.
Good. Beth, how about you?
B-Rana. B is, she's an only child of, the only child to stick around and be taking care of her grandparents, because it's very tragic. Her father died when they were only just and her mother were only just engaged. It's so tragic. It's very tragic. And well, her mother takes care of her grandparents, who are weavers, and does some weaving herself. And V is not in any of that, so she is off doing things and talking to people and picking up all kinds of stuff, and including an ocarina somewhere. Everyone's very concerned. She's able to play it, but everyone's very concerned, and she's followed around these days by a large green and red rooster with bone white and feet. So who knows where that came from? No one knows where that came from. People are generally very concerned about her because her mother just doesn't have enough ability to instill anything like common sense into this wild child. But hey, that's their problem.
My mom says you get a lot of common sense. You've been bandaged more often. So I'm here to help.
No, bandaging is what happens when you get hurt. And the point is to try not to get hurt or fall into the river.
I definitely don't want to do that.
Yeah, I mean, the river, it's like the Bolton Strid. Bolton Strid knows what you did.
Well, according to my mom, I said what I said.
Your mom tells you what you said?
No, she says she said what she said, which is to say, if the statement given does not supersede the statement that preceded it.
I'm not going to bother figuring that out.
Ellie, who do we have the pleasure of you playing this campaign?
I'm playing Jandira, who grew up tending orchids with her family, and she's probably not going to inherit any. She likes working with friar fens, bees anyway. So, you know, she has her fun and gets around town and is learning how to make mead. And if anybody asks what happened to those documents, no, they didn't.
And she's a small folk, if I remember correctly. Is that right?
Yes. Yes. She's a small folk.
So far, our other two PCs are human.
I didn't actually realize that non-humans were generally part of this town.
The primary population of Redfield is human. There's a very small contingent of small folk. And to be a elf, dwarf, or gnome would require other doings going on. Anything beyond that would be somebody who would not show up until somewhat later in the session. But if you want to move to something like that in the future, we certainly could do so.
Oh, too much. Made me play a human.
Theo, tell us about your character.
Oh, well, one of Teth's parents is involved in the Watch, and they're hoping for the same. They are a big believer in the concepts of discipline and organization and people not trying to threaten, you know, the town, the people they like, that sort of thing. They're a very good-natured kind of person most of the time, but they also kind of have it in their heads that the way to deal with people trying to please is growl back louder.
Fair enough.
They have no idea what they're going to do if they don't get into the Watch.
Oh, you're a narc. Oh, no.
Hi! Yeah, everything's fine. I'll just be going.
Absolutely no party conflict whatsoever.
In my head canon, Eddie has patched up everyone else in this party multiple times already.
Probably.
It is quite possible that the adult who would normally be doing the patching up was like, I'm done with this, and just sent Eddie instead because they could not do it again.
They are big and burly to an extent, and they do not give off the impression that there are a lot of thoughts in their head, at least unless something is going wrong. In case they have a few more thoughts than they seem to.
I also now have the mental image of Taff heading out because justice must be done, while Eddie is trailing behind, trying desperately to finish putting the bandage on the arm. Think, no, I'm not done. You gotta let me talk. Just getting drugged behind because, again, 100 pounds if soaking wet.
All right, then with the characters introduced and general ideas and pictures in our mind of said characters, I will begin with the opening narrative. In the southeastern cradle of a country called Varen, where the plateau meets the wild and the Dolmir River sings its endless song, in the peace, in the calm, in the serenity, there lies Redfield. Some, it is a myth, a whisper of a far-off land. To others, the source of a priceless commodity, red grain. To you, it is simply home. Place of stone hearths and festival banners, of genuine laughter and the warmth of bread pulled from shared ovens, of stories passed down by candlelight, of warnings never truly questioned. Generations, your people have tilled the red earth, drawn tiles beneath spring skies, honored the old treaties with the elves, dwarves, and gnomes alike. Dragon's Eye watches from the heavens, and the river obeys. And though the outside world may stir with war, invention, kings, and chaos, you live within the calm, untouched by its tide. The bridge holds, the river rises and falls, and life, as always, continues. Now, once again, I will climb the heavens, and with it, the waters will withdraw. Night, the bridge will again be and with the first full moon of abeyance, the bridgewalkers will perform their task. You wait now, not far from the river's edge, with a great number of your fellow Redfielders from all over the plateau. Cook fires glow, stories are traded, and the mood is light. There are murmurs, however, that certain families have not yet arrived. But most assume those missing families will arrive in time for tile draw back at the village center. Not everyone makes it to the bridge walk each year, after all. Distances to the four corners of the plateau being as vast as they are, sometimes several days to a week of travel. But then there's tile draw. Word hangs heavy in the minds of each of you. Your tally awaits. You are not yet tile drawn. That moment comes soon enough, though. Just a few days' time, you will learn your destinies. For now, however, fog lifts, the eye opens, and the river begins to fall. The two youngsters chosen this past autumn during the Overwatch Festival, here in Frostwound and River Run, stand nervously to one side, receiving their final instructions from Mayor Amos Windle, who, despite the ceremonial weight of the moment, still manages to fumble with the fastening of his sash. You've seen all this before, of course, but it's no less miraculous. As if on cue, mighty and beautiful Dragon's Eye begins to slowly rise above the southern horizon, and the waters of the Dolmere recede. A massive bridge comes into view. In just a few moments, it'll be traversable again, and the mayor will intone the words of blessing upon the bridgewalkers, and then their crossing will commence. Glance at your fellow Redfielders. Some watch the bridge in awe. Others whisper and joke to mask their nerves. For now, though, you wait. Say what you will. This moment, right now, is yours.
Is nervously, and trying not to show it, slipping her hand into, well, actually, she's sort of tucking her hands into her sleeves frequently, and it sort of looks like she might be, you know, she has some fidget in there that she keeps touching. She's got a plan. This is probably a bad idea.
Plans, huh?
Yeah, I'll be fine. I'll be totally fine, really. Honestly. I'm sure you'll get the tile you want.
One of your fellow tile draw tally members, Relin Mark Hollow, comes striding up all confidently. I'm sure. Yes, you'll get exactly what you want. Of course we know what I want. This guy is very...
Did he buy a dozen eggs?
Imagine a teenage Gaston, and you got the right image of this particular fellow here. He is in your class, in your tally, so to speak. And he keeps opening his mouth and flexing the biggest, burliest biceps and pecs that you've ever seen.
I mean, if he just be quiet and stand around being eye candy, that'd be great. But he's not doing that.
Puts his foot up on a bench, strikes a pose with his fists on his waist, smiles. Ting. It's not for a few days anyway. I wonder which contest they'll have us perform this evening. There's always two the first night. I'm sure I'll do wonderful, though. Of course I would.
You always do fine with all of the physical ones, obviously. Yeah. Yeah.
At that, another one of your fellow tally also joins the group. This is Senna Varel. So kind of rolls her eyes at him. Yeah, just the physical ones, she says. Kind of it gives Indira a little nudge.
Eddie reflexively checks to make sure that he still brought his first aid stuff with him. No reason.
And as Relin takes his foot off the bench, You see another one of your tally members on the ground near his feet, tying his shoelaces together. This, of course, is Dath. This is a typical move as far as Dath is concerned. Dath and Porin, he likes to cause a little mayhem and crack these little jokes.
He flashes him a thumbs up where no one else can see. Good going, yeah.
I see a roll.
I'm sorry, but you said flashes a thumbs up where no one else can see. I've rolled a 15 on a perception check.
I feel like I should be making a perception check to see if I notice.
And do I now need to roll a deception check to keep my mouth shut?
Not the thumbs up, the tying.
Oh, let's see here.
I should be rolling something for sleight of hand to see if I can do a thumbs up.
I think the person doing sleight of hand, I think, is being done by tying shoelaces together.
Yeah, but I just rolled a natural 19 on the sleight of hand. Oh, so
Dath got a 17 for sleight of hand. There you go, Dath.
Sorry, Jandira, there's a 7.
V gives...
So unless your perception check beats a 17, you do not see the shenaniganery Dath is performing.
Well, there's only one shenan happening. So we only have to watch for if someone does it again.
Dath is busy trying to figure out what kind of events they're setting up from what people are doing.
And
therefore is not paying attention to what's about to occur.
Oh, darn, I missed the perception, actually. Oh, well, by one.
Eddie is paying attention to a lot, but in doing so has totally missed that shoelaces are being tied.
Notices Dath. Gives Dath a thumbs up. Dath is probably doing something. Can't tell what.
Dath ends up over here, kind of whistling innocently.
Here the whole time.
He's here the whole time. And this is when the last member of your tally wanders up. This is Liva Tarn. She's the soft-spoken, quiet one. Doesn't usually say too much. No one really knows too much about her.
Wave.
He nods back. Being so close to the watch character, Dath would have heard a rumor that supposedly Liva once saw an elf watching her from the tree line, but she never really told anybody about it, which kind of makes you wonder how the rumor started. Or maybe it doesn't. I don't know.
I figure that most rumors start because someone was born.
And this is my mind feels after all. Not much typically happens other than, you know, the weather and jobs. You know, there's, Redfield, none of you have ever known sickness or disease, nor ever heard of anybody dying of sickness or disease here in Redfield. It is a fairly large area. From the center of the village center in middle of the plateau, it takes 3 to 4 days to travel to any one of the natural borders. On the north, the natural border of the Old Wood, which is where they're somewhere inside are the elves. No one knows. On the eastern border is the Iron Wall, a vast, non-traversable array of mountains. The southeast of that wall, there is Raventok Hold, where the dwarves and gnomes have their settlement, shall we say. And the Dolmir River borders on the west and south. Bridge is in most southwestern corner of the Dolmir River. For those at home, is a river so vast, even when it's at its lowest point, one cannot see far bank due to the curvature of the planet. So it is a vast, vast river. Had a little Poconkle stream.
It's the Bolton Strid grown up and turned into a strait. Oh, if you're not, do you not know about the Bolton Strid?
Go ahead and
this is real.
Go ahead and educate our listeners.
The Bolton Strid is the most deadly body of water. It has 100% death rate. It's narrow, and basically it's like this little creek on top, and it goes way down deep, and it's got really powerful currents and like caves underneath it. And just look up the Bolton Strid, B-O-L-T-E-N-S-T-R-I-D, and you know, it looks innocent. It's 30 feet wide, and then a little further, it starts out, you know, 30 feet wide, and it's calm, it's fine. Then it all gets squeezed through a 6-foot channel in the rock. And all that water goes boom, but it looks like it's just this little thing. And, you know, you people, fools, let me put this more willfully foolish people sometimes try and jump it. And if they fall in it, they die. So it's, everything you've described about this giant river is like if the Bolton Strid grew up and was just as deadly.
It's true. It is true. There is no sailing this river. There's certainly no swimming it. There is no craft on it of any sort. Fishing it is a fool's errand. So, yes, it is similar, except it is massive in size. After a few moments more, the mayor holds up his hand, all falls silent. He raises up his bold and clear voice and intones the response for the call and response portion of the ceremony that you are all familiar with. May your step be sure. Everybody responds, may your step be sure.
And also with you. Wait, no, wrong one.
It's similarly, yes. Yes, this is probably your equivalent of that, yes. He turns to the Bridgewalkers. By the dragon's eye, may your step be sure. Everybody again may goes, may your step be sure.
Of course, Tath is the one who is... Yep.
And with that, you watch the two youngsters take their first tentative steps across the bridge. And... the bridge holds. You watch them till they move out of sight across the bridge. And of course, you know they are going across to escort back the merchant who comes twice a year with his caravan, Dario Daddario, who is supposed to be bringing his adopted daughter this time, which is quite an account of news, an account of excitement for many. Supposedly her name is Alessandria. Only the first time she visits. But he brings his many dozens of carriages to load up with red grain to take out into the world. Also coming with him typically are several guardsmen, one of which in particular is a regular, the captain of his guard, Soren Vale, who's just one of those guys who just oozes cool. And those people are just effortlessly cool. He might have been a pirate in a previous incarnation of his life. You know, he's kind of one of those guys that, you know, all the young boys like to listen to his stories and all the young girls kind of giggle when he walks by. You know, it's just one of those cool guys. So that's what the Bridgewalkers are set off to do. But in the meantime, first two games are being set up. The booze is flowing and the food is being eaten. But we shall begin with the first test. First test for all of this tally is going to be the Watcher's Mark. Eyes keen and hands steady, like the Watchers of old. The traditional archery contest held as tribute to the Watchers who protect Redfield's borders. Participants taking turns firing at a series of wooden targets set at increasing distances. Final round will involve a small moving target shaped like the dragon's eye, swaying gently in the wind. So, for round one, may I have everybody please roll an archery? Yes, indeed.
I have a light crossbow in my inventory.
So, if you don't have already don't have a short bow or long bow skill, then just make me a general ranged attack roll.
Oh.
I don't know.
Space for your attacks.
Full disclosure, dear listeners. We are playing Tales of the Valiant for the first time with an actual game, as opposed to let's just see how things work. So we are looking for buttons. And if you are playing a character that is proficient in bows, which I don't know if a bow is considered a simple weapon.
It is.
Okay. So it would be rolling a d20 plus your dex bonus plus your proficiency bonus. If you had to do things the hard way, if you happen to have a ranged weapon in your inventory already, which, for example, Edgar does, I can click on light crossbow in my inventory and there's an attack button there.
I have no idea how to roll with...
I was going to confess that I wasn't actually very good at archery, but then I rolled an 18.
Okay, so tell me again, Crash, what's this thing? Okay. I have simple weapons, so if I was simple, I'm okay.
Okay, so I am assuming that you do not have a ranged weapon in your inventory.
Not unless you count a dagger, which I don't know if it, does so ranged.
So you are going to roll. Let me look at your character sheet here. By the way, did you know that your token for V is also set to be your familiar?
That's weird.
Yes, because apparently you changed it to that at some point. But you are going to roll is a d20 plus 4. Because your proficiency bonus is plus 2 and your dexterity is plus 2.
Okay. Oh, that's a saving throw. Well, it was a d20 plus 4, so it's an 18.
Yeah.
However
the math works. For the record, Eddie rolled a 9. All of you are hitting the target, possibly. I'm not going to insist that Eddie has hit a target that he was aiming for.
All right, let's see. Santira rolled a 10.
Relan is going to be absolutely insufferable because he rolled a 21, but he's insufferable anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Let's see. Everybody gets.
I got an 18.
I'm a little concerned that Relan's bow attack was two-handed.
Well, your
but
bows
then
are.
They all are. How else do you use a bow? But I'm concerned that it had to specify attack two-handed.
Combat log. It's a little okay.
Yeah, you have to scroll through the chat messages. It includes a lot of extraneous information.
Did anyone roll higher than 21?
No.
So you all take your turn, and of course, Relan hits a bullseye on the first target. Gives a big toothy grin and plays it to the audience. There's, you know, three other teenage girls who all swoon over him.
Yeah, we know. V applauds.
V gets a very good hit with an 18, as does Senna. Liva scores a hit with
and
a 14.
Half hit an 18.
Yeah, I also rolled an 18.
Looking for Tath. Yep, Tath, you also get a very strong hit with an 8. Oh, very good. Anybody get who got below a 10?
Hi.
I got a 10.
You got a 10. So, Jandira, you just hit this particular target, and Crash, your character... Eddie did not hit this first target. So you're down some points here going into round two. Okay.
Do I get a luck point for missing?
Sure.
Yay. Take your luck point.
Round two, target number this time is a 12.
X plus 4 still?
It's same attack. If you'd like
1D plus 4, okay.
If you'd like to just drag a short bow into your inventory to click on, that's perfectly fine as well.
I'll just roll the plus 4.
I think Jandira is perhaps not taking this very seriously.
You have a plus 5 to hit, yes, but you got an 8. One could argue, if we're trying to turn the game physics into reasoning, that, yeah, if you've got a plus 5 to it, you're good enough that you don't really need to prove yourself.
I only have a plus 1 to this, but I keep rolling high. I got a 6.
Oh no, Liva, who did you shoot, Liva?
Oh.
On it. You hear the sound of an ace bandage getting unrolled.
He missed. Does V get a luck point?
All right.
Typically, the rule is that you get a luck point if you fail a roll.
Sure. If you rolled below a,
I rolled a 9. Actually, well, I rolled a 5, but
luck points.
Yes.
He is so so bummed by the critical hit over there. Well, not quite, but you know what I mean. That it's like, okay, sure, just shoot twang. Oh, so sad. Okay, whatevs.
Yeah, looks like a number of people missed this time. Oh, Senna got a very good hit.
Ooh.
Relin missed. There's a couple of Oz. He immediately looks at the bow, starts messing with it. Clearly it was the bow's fault, not his.
My luck is rubbing off on him. We got the same roll.
Liva, yes, her arrow just ended up sticking in the ground about 4 feet in front of her. Dath hit as well. Tath hits as well. B, you missed.
Yep. And
Jadira, I can't find you. What did you get?
Eight.
Yeah.
High five.
Eight. So a couple more misses. All right, final round. Going to be a 15 to hit.
Come on, luck points.
I'm putting my own arrows on.
I'm just sneakily going in and adding my crossbow bolts back.
Yeah, do not. You're being provided ammunition for this, so there's no.
I got a 6.
Well, Leva's got a nat 20 there.
The entire time, people are drinking and placing bets. It gets rowdy. This takes a course of, almost an hour, of course, for world time.
Nat, with a nat 1, V has snapped the string on this bow and is going ow, 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 and sort of bouncing around, rubbing her arm.
Path attempts to consolingly clap Relin on the shoulder and go, well, at least you got closer than I did, huh?
Of course I got closer than you. What else would you?
Go, Leva. Go, Senna.
After each round, You all see, the village elders off to the side discussing and making notes, and because these are your last chances to really impress them, or Taldraw in 3 days.
So. Taldraw is sure of it. It's rigged.
Rigged, huh?
You're sure of it? It's gotta be.
We can shoehorn them later.
Did any of the PCs make the roll this last round? Maybe I get a 15 or higher?
No, 13 for me.
Okay.
This target
was not only the first the way of them all, but again, it was a small little thing and moving about, so very difficult to hit for your skill. Although it seems that Liva did actually manage to hit it, which made up for her totally. Rolling a 1 in the previous round. So, all right. So, with the first event concluded, there is more feasting and drinking to be had for another hour or so. So, the second and final game of the night is announced. It is called the Boast and the Ballad, a tradition that dates back to the earliest of gatherings. Boast and the Ballad is part performance, part persuasion. And entirely beloved. Each Taldraw candidate must step into the center of the crowd and either tell a compelling tale, sing a ballad, or deliver a boastful speech about a real or imagined feat. It can be funny, heartfelt, awe-inspiring, or all three. Wit and wordplay are applauded, but so is sincerity. The crowd is the judge here. Cheers and laughter, or even thoughtful silence. Decides the success of the speaker. Chance to impress not just the council, but one's peers, possibly secure a place. It's a long memory.
Well, V knows what she's going to be.
Well, V can go first.
V does actually not want to go first. V wants to strategically see what other people are doing and make sure that she's not going to do something too similar to whoever goes last, because whoever goes last is going to be fresh in people's minds. She wants the coveted last place.
Mm. I want my sheet to work.
Valid.
What features are you trying to add to your sheet right now?
Features that are listed in Vanguard class.
So Born Leader, War Banner, And
Banner of Mercy and Black Flag.
Okay. I am in the GM tools. Give me a second here while V is doing V things.
No. V wants to go last. Someone else can go first. Hey, how about Relan, you go first.
I'll go first. Of course I'll go first. Because first is best and best is me. So, yes, of course. He steps into the center of the ring, clears his throat, stretches his shoulders a bit, flexes a few times. The girls in the crowd go, ooh.
And he sighs. All that, and then he opens his mouth.
He opens his mouth.
And ruins everything. He begins to tell.
Exactly.
What was that, Crash?
Opens his mouth and ruins everything.
Ruins everything. Yep. He begins to tell the tale of one time when he was working with his father, who just happens to be the head of horses, a rather prestigious member of the village, of the area, how he single-handedly wrestled a young colt to the ground who needed to be captured and treated in order so he did not spread around disease to others. And all the other hands of the horse taker carers put into it, but I certainly did. And his sycophants, of course, swoon and applaud and to much fanfare, while everyone else is just sort of all right, thank you.
The golf claps.
Seth sort of makes this face where, okay, look, they're convinced that they and Relan are friends, but right now they kind of wish they weren't.
Thena Varel will step up next, and she offers a riddle. It says, you see a boat filled with people. Isn't a single person on board. How is this possible?
Filled with people, then there.
Yes, how is that possible?
Simple.
Well, they're all married. If it's filled with people, there's not none.
Maybe they're all married. Yeah.
Points for you, V. They're all married. That's
not, oh, no, it's not points for me. It's V will point out that she actually heard Eddie say that.
Oh, points for Eddie, then.
V just said it louder.
Well, sometimes that's what matters.
Eddie is used to mumbling something. Because he doesn't expect people to listen to him anyway.
Bunch of on the boat. Yeah. Not single.
That's right. It's not just one. Right. Like double. You're both right.
And the village elders, talk amongst themselves, make some notes. Daph walks up next, and people almost rolling their eyes because they know what a clown this guy could be sometimes. And he starts, he whips out a couple of apples and starts juggling them quite well. And
the applause.
You hear from the crowd, hey, wait a second, those are my apples. And at that, he tosses them up in the air and makes a beeline in the opposite direction.
Oh no.
None of the apples explode. I want to make a point to say none of the apples explode.
None of the apples explode, no. But the guy with the my apples!
I can't. No. Yeah. These horrible rooster goes and flaps over and grabs one and runs off to somewhere in the crowd.
I'm going to make a comment that is for two people. Just two people. To understand and be amused by. At least he didn't eat the apples first.
I appreciate that very much.
I provide a valuable service.
Earned.
References. These games are 95% references to other games by volume.
Volume. The quiet Liva Tarn moves into the circle with a pet dog. Of all things, and puts on a show of having this dog do all sorts of different tricks, jumping through hoops, begging, rolling over, dancing on its hind legs, you know, just about any sort of clever, you know, dog trick you can find, you know, weaving between the legs, running up one of her arms and down the other. It's all quite impressive. And the crowd is pleased and delighted.
Applaud.
It is now turn for one of the NPCs to go.
Eddie is going to take a step forward, possibly because he was pushed by somebody else. We can't prove anything. But then finds that he has the momentum to step forward the rest of the way. Now everyone's staring at him, so he goes on autopilot and walks over. And he is going to talk about the proper way for treating multiple injuries that one can hypothetically acquire when one is not taking proper care around livestock, particularly horses, maybe a young horse, a colt, but hypothetically here. One should never try to actually wrestle the colt to the ground, because then you can get kicked a lot. You might even break a rib. There's a lot of bruising that can occur. You might get a black eye or worse. And if it's ribs that get damaged, well, there's ways to bind it. You're still going to be sore for quite some time. You got to be careful until that rib thoroughly sets. If an arm is broken, you have to immobilize above and below the break. Usually that means immobilizing multiple joints, depending on where it is. If you want to take care of this colt that is panicking, the best thing to do, and I do not have any skill in that, but Eddie does have a +5 in animal handling. So he goes through the proper methods to not injure the colt or yourself. But should you get injured, here's how you treat them. And this is all hypothetical. We're not mentioning any actual situation that did take place this year.
All right, Crash, have Eddie roll for me. I'm going to give you a performance check, but do it at advantage since you have that +5 in ammo handling.
Also +5 in medicine, but you can't get double advantage. So I am definitely going to just pick the one advantage. And I am going to add 2 luck points to this because I happen to have 3 because of my wonderful skill in archery.
All right.
I don't know if there was a target number, but I'm definitely going to... How do I get these to go back down?
You make your 13 into a 15.
Yes. All right. Think that's a rather cromulent roll.
So there are some murmurs from the crowd. So a few chuckle up their sleeves because they totally get what you're doing. And you furtive glances over toward the village elders, the council. You see them talking amongst themselves and making notes. You feel that you acquitted yourself just about as well as you could in the particular task.
I still feel like I need to make a deception roll versus someone else's perception, but only one person's.
Who's next?
I am.
Oh.
Path goes and gets up there and starts telling a story that probably actually several people are familiar with because it's true. And it's the story of how a few years ago, one of the younger kids managed to go off and get lost and go on a grand adventure, a.k.a. lead everyone a merry chase. And Path is talking about search and getting together, helping search, getting some of the other younger kids involved, what everyone did, basically to talk about it as if everyone involved did really a great job. Smiling at those kids who I assume are in the crowd, those other younger kids who were helping search.
Are you being positive toward them, or are you like intimidating them to not do any further wrongdoing?
Do any wrongdoing? They helped look for their friend.
Okay.
They did a great job, but I'm basically doing the. You know when you talk up what a younger kid did in a slightly way where like it's over dramatic and they know it's over dramatic, but the idea is to make them giggle and feel heroic.
All right. So I'll say, because you have a 5 in persuasion there, why don't you also give me a performance check at advantage? Here you go.
That's a 16.
All right. And those in the crowd who were privy to the inner workings of this event smile and nod approvingly of your story. The council, you know, again, just like with everybody, they talks amongst themselves, make some notes. Some of the kids in the crowd, you know, give a little bashful, you know, smirk as they, you know, toe the ground. You feel that you've made a good impression to one and all.
Aw, shucks.
Who will step in next?
Jandira will.
Jandira steps into the circle.
Jandira steps into the circle and says, I am going to tell you a story that is not true. And you know it's not true because I would never lie to you. And she goes on to tell the story. And this is a story that is very obviously based in personal experience. But also, she repeats throughout the story. And this didn't happen, and I would never lie to you about that. It's the story of how she broke into the council chambers and changed her test scores before the draw.
Are you doing anything to accompany this? Any sort of anything that I could justify giving you a role for advantage on your part?
She's giving specifics of how she would break into the council chamber.
So would you say perhaps to enhance the performance as you dove through an open window and tumbled to your feet, you did a diving tumble or something, yeah. Things like that?
Acrobatics and stealth for like creeping across the circle. Sure. Sleight of hand for, you know, maybe producing the pen from out of nowhere to change the numbers on the paper.
All
right. Pointing out that the test scores were in the third drawer on the left, underneath the sandwich.
Right.
Go ahead and make me the performance roll out of it.
Well, an 11's not terrible.
No, not terrible. Not terrible. It's certainly better than average. And again, you get some chuckles from some people in the crowd, some people elbowing each other, and one or two people pondering carefully. Are they actually telling the truth or no? Well, she says she wouldn't lie. But that's exactly what somebody who'd lie would say.
I believe her.
Consternation, concern. Again, as you look over at the village council, you know, they're still talking amongst themselves, making notes, etc.
He's hoping that the village council will, in fact, shore up the weaknesses that she's exposing in this story.
And V, that leaves only you.
V will go and, with slight accompaniments on her strange instrument of choice, she's going to go and try to sing something pretty. And
what's your instrument of choice?
It's an ocarina.
That's a wind instrument.
Yes, but what you do is you play a few bit, you know, you just sort of started off with a bit of haunting playing, and then you sing, and then occasionally, you end off with some playing again. So there.
I thought you might have your familiar, because you happen to have one, breathing into the ocarina.
The rooster cannot play the ocarina.
Not with that attitude.
You do it.
On my end, it sounds like we said it at the same time. And mine is the end of this recording.
A shadow in the bright bazaar. A glimpse of eyes where none should shine. A glimpse of eyes translucent gold and slitted against the sun. This the clue and this the sign that sets him on his quarry's line. But she has seen him in a dream, and now she's on the run. And that is Eklar, Golden Eyes, that's lyrics, and I won't sing the rest of it because that would be mean, but it is Filk, so hopefully that's...
So go ahead and give me your performance checks at...
Okay. Oh, performance at advantage.
Ooh.
22?
Wow, stellar performance is given. Ivy to uproarious applause. What a fantastic way to end the first night of challenges for the tile draw.
That's why V went last.
Well, I know whose score I'm stealing.
Thumbs up.
I didn't hear that. I did not hear that. If I didn't hear that, then no one asked me if I heard it or not. Fine. It's fine. It's fine.
The night carries on with more dice games and gambling and drinking and feasting we had. You know from your past experience that it'll be near dawn before the Bridgewalkers return with Dario. If there's anything you want to do this first night of feast for the Abeyance Festival, now is the time.
Seated a roll. That's what I'd like to do.
The dice giveth and the dice taketh away.
Yeah.
Yes, but do the luck points giveth?
When you have failed a roll, you would get a luck one, yes, but no one failed a roll in the performance section.
Oh.
All right, I failed the second shooty roll as well as there too, so.
Right, so yeah,
I think I'm the only one who failed three roll. In a row.
By the way, Crash, the answer is you click the lock at the top of the character sheet and the plus on the in the luck thing changes to a minus.
Ah, there's also in the role that I was buttons, adding the points yeah. to, I hit the plus icon there, which you had told me before we started recording, and I forgot until I was fumbling.
We've been playing for just over an hour. So,
like to take a break or call here for tonight?
I would like to take a break. I'm having fun.
I am also having fun. And during the break,
My several twinned.
During the break, Eddie is going to be getting bottles of water from Craft Services and just setting them out next to everyone who's been drinking heavily, saying, you're going to need this.
B is not drinking basically at all if she can avoid it. Sometimes you got to be sober for a while.
There's non-alcoholic mead. It's just honey.
It is a big party. All right. Well, then let's take a break. Why don't you hit that button there, Crash?
All right. We're taking 5, keeping it to 15. That's when I said punchline, and I rolled a nat 20 on my performance check when I did that.
You did.
Well, there's your.
So we come back to everyone laughing at a joke that Eddie said off camera. And will not remember.
Laugh track plays. Welcome back. Oh, all right. We fast forward to just before dawn, and you hear before you see the creaking of wheels coming across the bridge. And then as the sun rises, the young bridge walkers return, and behind them the horseless carriages of Dario Daddario. This is completely normal to you that his carriages move without horses.
Upload 5.
I will look into that again. Anyway, horseless carriages, which are not cars.
Horseless carriages. This is just the way his carriages are. You've never asked why. Just kind of one of those things that are just always the way it is. As the carriages trundle over, there's several dozen of them, accompanied by a handful of guards. You see at the lead carriage, Dario himself, resplendent in his finery, next to him, a woman next to him. Presumably, this is his daughter. She is very fair and beautiful, big bright blue eyes, like nearly luminous. You see the following carriage, Soren Vale, who you're all familiar with, the head of the guards, and the guardsmen themselves. There's always different guards each time, so in this case, it is no different. The guardsmen are all new guards who have not been here before. As the carriages pull in, Dario hops off the carriage and goes up to the mirror, and you hear his loud, booming voice. Ah, Mayor, my friend, good to see you again. Dario, and they clasp together and begin talking amongst each other. almost before it gets off of the carriage, you see a number of matronly sort of women surrounding Alessandria and talking to her as well. Soren's carriage rolls by. You know, the boys are already yelling for stories, and the younger girls are already blushing. But one by one, all the carriages arrive. There are some wares on the carriages, some things that are brought in from outside of Redfield that Dario gets contracted with by people. And, you know, over the course of the next little bit during breakfast, you see coinage, change hands and goods be dispersed from said carriages. After the morning breakfast meal, if you will, there is, you know, because people have been partying all night, there is a bit of a rest period. And then more towards noon on the day, the whole caravan and partygoers as one start traveling back towards the center of Redfield, towards the town center. It's going to be another 2 days before you reach there. But, you know, so travel most of the day, but then you get to another fairground where, you know, the second night is held and more partying commences. If during that time you wish to converse with each other or any of the presented NPCs, feel free to do so right now as I look something up.
Is mostly squinting at everyone who is showing up for more than, especially people who have shown up from across the bridge in prior years, because, well, it was very convenient that her mother said that she was engaged.
So the only two people who are here who you've seen before from the outside world is Dario Daddario, I will try my best to voice properly, but if anyone's ever seen Babylon 5, he's very Londo Malari coded. So that is the vibe we're going for. I believe, other than that, the only other person who is consistent is the captain of the guard, Soren Vale. But
why does he have like
you judge that though he's older than you, he may be too young for what you're thinking.
Oh well.
What? Why are there so many members of the caravan named Zathras?
Funny. but that being said, let me pull some people onto the map. Dario Daddario, adopted daughter Alessandra. Sorry, multiple.
And for the record, the file for Dario Daddario's portrait specifically says not Lando. So we don't need to worry about any copyright infringement whatsoever. This is an audio-based media.
None whatsoever. Suppose I could probably some other Terry. Lots of comments. There's hundreds of people, you know, coming and going, so I'm not going to pull on hundreds of token.
Beth is trying to befriend Alessandra. No one their age from outside has ever shown up before, so sure. Someone you can actually talk to? That's exciting.
She strikes you as a dignified sort of person. A bit, not terse, terse is the wrong word. She's a bit taciturn, I guess you could say. At present, you know, it's her first time here. It's a long travel from what you've heard of the past, you know, from wherever they come from, it's very far away. But you know, she's friendly enough and will talk with you, but her attention is getting pulled in multiple directions. It seems just about every wife, mother with a son who is of age or about to come to age, has a little gift to give her of some sort.
Yeah, and they all need to just keep trying to walk around Relan, who just wants to be standing there in front of her flexing.
Oh yeah, he is totally, you know, what's that over there? You know, the whole.
Oh my gosh!
Absolutely, he definitely is doing the flex, so someone makes a comment about his, you know, thinks they hear him make a comment about his biceps being made of steel, baby, you know. So
then they wouldn't work very well as muscles, and he wouldn't be able to lift many things. That would be a horrible thing.
He would like to see if this poor girl is actually enjoying Relan flexing.
She's, you know, he is oblivious, but she, you know, rolls her eyes and is pretty much ignoring him. You know, he's not right in her face about it, because again, she's being mobbed left and right by marriage hunters.
He is going to just keep an eye on. She's going to try and she will intervene. If she has to, she will throw herself on the grenade and put a hand on his muscles and go, "Oh my," or something if she has to. If it seems like he is actually going to go and get close enough to bother the poor kid over there.
What's this role for serious wounds?
She may be a tad older than you lot who are going through Taladra, but maybe not by much. However, as off-putting as Relan is, he doesn't seem to be.
He hasn't managed to get close enough to be a real problem.
Right. He clearly has some idea of decorum and consent, even though you're not quite sure he knows what those words mean.
I've only explained them to him like 4 or 5 times. I thought he was listening.
Soon you see them start setting up for the 2 games for this evening. You see these. I'll just read what I wrote here. Why don't you just read what you wrote, Paul? Because you wrote the thing to be read to them. That would be really smart for you to do, Paul. Okay, Paul, we'll do that. Next game is the Red Grain Toss, a staple of the pre-tile draw contests. The Red Grain Toss is more than just a feat of strength. It is a symbol of pride, lineage, and readiness. Each candidate hefts a 40-pound ceremonial sack of freshly milled red grain and hurls it down a log clearing by the old measure line. The banners of Redfield's founding families flutter overhead, marking distances reached in years past. Children and elders toss for fun earlier in the day, but when the would-be Taladron step forward, the crowd hushes, eyes sharp and with curiosity and quiet wagers. For some, it is a final chance to show they're built for labor, hauling, or even guard duty. For others, it is just tradition. But in Redfield, tradition carries weight.
You mean weight for this, don't we? Because it's heavy.
I mean, thank you. Yes,
it's morning.
It is.
We've been waiting all night.
It's evening of day 2.
Oh, well, yeah, we waited so long. It's tomorrow.
It was. There would have been some sleeping. Yes, it would have been in the morning hours. You know, but
Did Eddie sleep?
Oh, that's up to Eddie.
Yes, Eddie did sleep. Eddie has had to treat many people who decided they did not need sleep and then had repercussions from fatigue. Eddie would not like to be the one being treated. Also, he's about to try to throw something that is nearly half his weight.
So this is going to be a simple strength roll from everybody.
A strength roll.
Anyone else?
Yes,
I hear you.
I heard you say athletics
or strength.
Yeah, I was asking that. I just asked twice, and there was no response. So
I'm sorry. I couldn't hear the question. I apologize. That's a really quite good question. I didn't consider that. Is athletic strength based?
Yes.
Yeah.
It adds an additional bonus.
Oh, then definitely. Then let's use athletics for that. Then have athletics.
They're the same for me.
For the listeners at home, this is Paul's first time GMing a 5e game.
It is. And my experience in playing 5e is limited to 1 game session ever. So,
yes.
Please bear with
me. I was there for that. I have a question for the GM.
I have an answer.
Yes, and if you don't, you can make one up, which would still mean that you have an answer. This is where game mechanics and game lore start to blend together. I have a fully made character class, but my character doesn't know this yet. Might I, in an attempt to say a silent prayer to whatever gods are listening, insert pantheon here, which I'm not going to get into, be able to somehow manage to cast Bless on myself anyway?
Guidance.
Bless is something different. That's attack rolls. I
hope
also
you're not attacking the flower.
I do not attempt to attack the grain. No. But guidance would be the correct one, and I also have that prepared.
I will allow it.
All right. That's going to let me roll an additional d4. I don't expect this is going to do much, mind you. But because my strength score is -1.
You're not the only one.
Look, V rolled a 2, and I figure this means she didn't even try. Oh, so close.
I'm not going to roll the d4. I don't believe that'll help.
The die looked like it was about to be a 20. It was like, oh no. And then it
Dice wasn't. So Nice is not physics based. It just makes a nice animation on top of the random number generator. But
nevertheless,
yeah.
It looked like it.
I'm just glad that was a 2 on the die, because
it
says I rolled a 1, but nope.
looking at the rolls, it appears that our small folk, Jadira, throws the 40-pound bag of milled red flour further than anyone else in this contest. Second to them looks like Dath and Liva.
What about our resident?
And then
Boasty
we have Boasty Boy. So Boasty Boy rolled a 1, and then I rolled again to like re-roll because of luck points, and he rolled a 1 again. So I'm going to play that as that he picked it up and hefted it with so much strength that the bag tore open and all the flour came out.
Disqualified.
No. A lot of that flour got picked up by that breeze, and it's gone further than anyone else's flour. It's still going.
Because they rolled a 3, and I assume that they have managed to get distracted by what's going on over there.
is your 6 the... athletics, you get your 7 with a 7 tap, or is that put you in third place with these rolls? I think it does. Yeah, it does. So Tath, you got third place.
Really bad day for throwing flour.
and you know, more, you know, of course there were more bets and that took place during this, and as with all of them, you know, each time the elders make their notes and have their conferences. Shortly thereafter, the second task of the evening happens, and you see some of the porters start bringing out stacks of timber. And this is a seasoned timber, and they're set on the contest grounds. Each person faces a block with an axe in hand. Challenge, chop and stack as much wood as you can before the bell tolls. Proper form, steady rhythm, and endurance are key. Speed alone will not win the day. Some see this as a test of work ethic. Others say it's a quiet nod to the old ways. Every home's warmth came from an axe and an arm of its keeper. So these are going to be con rolls.
I would.
So these are, I don't think, unless there's an appropriate skill, but I don't think.
Did I get a that? Or does Estrus, you're not familiar.
What roll was that?
I rolled a 3 and got a 7.
So there was no, other than the natural ones, there was no failures. It was just how far you threw it. There was no target number.
Con roll. Survival? Can I substitute survival, but it's wisdom based? Aren't any
No, I'm going to say not for this particular task.
Okay.
21.
He got a 3.
6. I keep rolling 2s.
Hey, you beat Relan. Hi, Senna. So now I got... But not Senna. Senna no, 18. Yes, Senna too.
Senna 18, Relan 17, Liva 11, Indira 16, Nath 2, Eddie 6, D3, Tath 21, for the big win. It goes Tath for the win, second place, Senna, surprisingly, Relan in third, followed closely by Jindira, who acquitted themselves well. Nath and V...
V is going, I would die. Apparently, I would just freeze. That's what I would do.
I found a GIF of Taff chopping the lumber.
Uh-oh.
It's in the GIF warehouse.
Yes.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's faster if you don't need the axe.
Yeah. Good job, Taff. The rest of the night is filled with more partying and drinking. And the next morning, once again, the whole ensemble picks up and travels most of the day to the third fairground spot. You're not yet back in town center. That will not be until tomorrow night. But follows much the same. You know, talking, you know, people getting their items off of Dario to Dario. You know, general hubbub and merrymaking. It's a festival. Nobody's working except for some of the watch who are still patrolling the borders. This is festival time.
We do spend half the morning in line to get into the parking lot.
It wouldn't be so bad, but there's a lot of horseless carriages here.
And they travel as by themselves seemingly. Someone walks in front of them, they'll pause or slow down. They're very efficient.
Do they have invisible horses?
That is a good question. They do. But you don't think so because there's no footprints of invisible horses. There's no sounds of invisible horses. People walk in front of them where horses would be and don't run into anything.
Visible and tangible horses that can still pull in. That's magic. Getting too much. Magic. Yep.
Not to figure out what people are doing.
But that's the fun part.
It is. Though there's not lots of magic done in Redfield, it is the world outside is a magical world. That is for sure. Here on the third night of festival, you have two more games. First game is called the Dragon's Game. On cloth-draped boards of lacquered wood, carved tiles of stone and bone and clay are laid in careful silence. Each piece bears a symbol, tools, flames, rivers, roots. And the arrangements of each round is said to echo the cycles of fate, toil, and change. The Dragon's Game is not about speed, but foresight. Played one-on-one, gold is simple. Outmaneuver your opponents until they have no more legal moves. Strategy? Oh, that's anything but simple. Some say the game reveals not just cleverness, but character. Others say it is just a way to let the council know who can think two steps ahead. Either way, reward awaits.
Who here has an illusion spell?
This is designed to be intelligence-based checks here. Is gaming a skill? Let's see.
Sleight of hand is, but if this is int-based...
Gaming or a tool.
What I put?
Oh, I have my equipment. It's a tool. Oh, well,
although this is a separate game, so maybe we wouldn't have it?
I have a tool proficiency. I don't have a tool proficiency. I have a proficiency in land vehicles for some reason, and I don't.
Yeah, you can drive a carriage.
Well,
it's a farming area, so I imagine many of us do have some skill with, like, getting the horse to move the cart somewhere.
Yeah, but I can't make that a tool. Right.
Well, my int bonus is +0.
As a tool and a vehicle of your choice. And it gave me proficiency in horn.
What was that?
I didn't have proficiency in horn. I don't know what I should have. Horn.
Well, you can fix that later.
Beth, to answer your question, that was me rolling a nat 1.
Oh.
So everybody, for the first round, everybody please roll their intelligence bonus target of 10.
So, I missed it by that much.
Crash, you get a luck point.
I feel lucky. Unlike my character.
B does not believe in this game. B is saving up, apparently, since B just rolled a 6.
Oh, there's another nat 1. But that was an NPC. I want to say Eddie accidentally knocked the board over as opposed to doing it in a rage.
Taff, so, I think you're the only one who succeeded, other than Senna.
Taff, Senna.
Make
so,
a luck point for failing?
Yes, yes. If you did not make the 10, get yourself a luck point. So a round goes by, a couple rounds go by of this game, and slowly it is brought down to the final match between Taff and Senna. This is going to be roll off straight intelligence. Whoever gets higher will win this particular game.
Well, I'm pretty sure I'm going to lose, but
you never know.
It's weird that the board is on 3 different heights. Thank you.
Yeah, we rolled the exact same things we rolled last round.
Huh.
All right. So
did you hear me?
Yes.
Taff comes in second place. Okay. Taff comes in second place. Yeah.
Sorry, if everyone went silent for a moment.
I'm still trying to figure out how best to navigate things here on my end, because I'm going back and forth between the chat messages in Foundry and then the actors, so I can click on the people and their character sheets, so I'm clicking around a lot.
Oh.
Have you tried using the pop-out? Do you have enough room for that to be useful?
I'll figure it out. That's okay.
This is why I run my own games with 3 different monitors and would probably do better with a 4th.
Yeah, I've only got 2, so. The second task for the third night is known as Voices of the Land. Long before the Tal Draw, people of Redfield believed the land itself could speak. In the rustling of leaves, and shifts of the wind, silence between birdsong. Voices of the Land calls upon that ancient tradition. Each Tal Draw candidate is led blindfolded, quiet glade or edge of the field, where they must identify a series of natural sounds, flow of a stream, the hoot of an owl, the creak of a tree under strain, the call of a distant cattle, even the approach of another villager by footfall alone. Judges, typically the elders and other rangers, use subtle tricks to test not just the hearing, but instinct and insight. It's not about guessing. It's about sensing, understanding, listening. Some walk away shaken, unsure as to what they thought they might have heard. Others speak afterward of feeling that something older listening back. So this will be either straight up wisdom rolls or things like
perception.
We could also do like if nature is higher or if survival is higher, you know, whichever one of those things is best for each character.
You know what? I'm going to use my luck to reroll.
Do it.
That's better. Do not have enough luck to reroll because I spent mine.
B will stand pat. If she wasn't doing well on it, honestly, she was going to try and cheat with blindfold and sleight of hand, but you know, a 19's good.
Me using luck to reroll may represent cheating with sleight of hand.
So if I add in guidance, I got an 11.
I mean, you're probably praying about it.
I would have scored higher, but there was a somatic component to the prayer. A verbal component, rather. Actually, what are the components for guidance? Yeah, somatic and verbal. I was right both times.
You have to mutter and put your hands together.
Once again, I'm in very slightly ahead of Rowan.
It's hilarious. Velen
thinks you are his rival now.
All right. So let's see what I'll do here.
Gendir and V and Teth.
Oh, Relin has a minus one and a plus two.
I think I clicked on Relin the second time when I was supposed to click on Senna. 7, 16, 18, 13, 19 for V, 17 for Teth, 20 for Jadira. 20 the highest?
I think so.
Jadira wins, followed by V, then Liva, then Teth. All right. So, again, the third night, again, more partying, more fun, more merrymaking. But the weight of tomorrow starts to lay heavy on you. You probably get a little bit more restless of sleep tonight, because tomorrow night is the final task that follows Isle Drop. It will seal your fate and your destiny in Redfield for the rest of your lives. Final day of travel. I'm sorry, go ahead.
And that's why we're saving up luck. No.
the final day of travel finally brings you to the village center. We're all familiar with the village center. You've been here multiple times. There's the inn. There's all the official buildings. It is, you know, the center of the most populous portion of Redfield. There are other towns about, but this is the biggest one. You know, the whole grounds area in the middle is cleared. And the final task is brought before you.
This is the inn. There's a Starbucks. Across from the inn, there's a Starbucks.
There's a Starbucks. Yeah, that's.
We have to finish this challenge quickly. In 5 minutes, it's turning into a Starbucks.
This last challenge is the Riverman's Test. You drink as the river flows and stand like the stone it wears away. Each contestant begins by downing 3 ceremonial shots of dragon's breath. Then, with a full bucket of water in each hand, arms held out straight to their sides, they must perform a series of deep squats in rhythm to the drumming of the watch. First to falter, spill, or drop a bucket is out. Rules. The shots are taken in rapid succession. So that will be constitution or poison saves if you have a special poison save ability. So everybody roll me a constitution save.
I roll sleight of hand to not drink much.
I was just about to ask if I could use sleight of hand to cheat.
Go ahead.
I do not like.
With guidance added in, I got an 18.
I got a 19 on the con save. But if you're making a save, you can't add guidance.
That's why I was second guessing myself. Yeah, you're right.
Is there separate saves to skill checks or to?
Yeah. So if you click on the bonus below, the stat, it's going. That's going to be the save, I believe.
No. Oh,
okay.
That's no, cool. I'm the wrong. Bonus to the
stat. Bonus up above is the stat. Yeah. Is the save.
Oh, okay.
I sit corrected because so if I stand, I won't be near the microphone.
It gave me save proficiency, wrong proficiency, and I need to fix that, and once again cannot.
So I got a 14.
Us.
For once, I am not rolling the lowest of the PCs, at least. Well, actually, no, NPCs. It's, I credit it to Edgar drinking a lot of water before the contest, because he knew he wouldn't be allowed to drink it after or during.
That's fair. How high? Well, if I don't get to that, that's pretty bad rolls.
What did you? So there's too much going on there. What did you get?
You should make a roll in order so you can look. For the first, she wants to do sleight of hand of not actually drinking the shots.
Right. What I saw you. What that was? A 10?
Okay. Yeah. So the question is, do people notice that she missed a little bit, and some of it went into, you know, like those voluminous ponytails she's got there.
You don't know if anyone's noticed or not.
I see. Do I get to roll? And my original con save is going to be an 8. Do I get to roll any better? Or honestly, you know what? She sucks at it anyway. She just doesn't want to be drunk for this.
Jadira, how'd you do with your sleight of hand?
My sleight of hand was 16 and my con save was 20.
Tath?
My con save was 19.
And Eddie?
14.
Okay. So none of you will be rolling with disadvantage for this next check. Everybody give me endurance.
That would be con.
All right. So go ahead and give me con.
Save or check?
Check or save?
Check.
Then I can add a d4.
Less than 10, you're out.
He is out.
I am going to use an ability.
Physical fortitude. Nice. Reroll save. I just realized on my character sheet I have purify food and drink. I do not think that would allow me to turn to reverse Jesus this and turn the alcohol into water.
No, but you made that well enough.
I did, but also retroactively, I don't think I would have been able to do that. I would have made the dragon's breath somehow more potent. You removed all the impurities. It's just grain alcohol now. Wait, oh no. Why is everyone blind?
Liva is out. Ath is out as well.
B is definitely out.
Is out. All right, those of you remain, roll again.
I think there's a mistake.
What was the target number?
That time was 10. Now it's 11.
Okay.
I think there's some kind of mistake. I'm not out. That's not right.
Yeah. Rollin falls and is out. As long as you beat an 11, you're 30, good. 20.
Task making it look easy. So is Senna, apparently.
Target number 12. Rolled again.
22.
He is.
19. Eddie's getting better at this. How?
Senna's up.
Is he laughing, Eddie?
You should try carrying buckets of cherries sometimes. Just think about all those cherries.
I'm trying not to think about how my shoulders are burning, and so are my knees and my calves.
Oh, she was directing that at Relin.
And my gut.
Grumble, grumble, grumble. Okay, roll again. Move it up one at a time. What are we up to, 13?
I think 18. So. Yes.
And they both make it?
I mistyped that, and it's probably going to yell at
14.
Me.
14. Oh. People are getting really raucous now. That's between you three. People are betting hard, betting fast.
There are already multiple people who have like tossed pieces of paper on the ground and stomped away because somehow Eddie has not lost yet.
Ask Eddie, 14. you're behind.
Huh? Oh, okay.
A 21. Eddie is getting better.
Listen, I'm finally out.
Passed out. All right, it's down to Eddie and Jadira.
Jadira winks at Eddie and deliberately fails the roll.
After this, Eddie is going to start a school for drunken cleric. It's like drunken monk, but it's different. It's the Friar Tuck school.
I still need Eddie to make the roll, though.
I was stalling for time as I put in the numbers. I do not make that roll. That is a 9.
So we all got out at the same time.
Yep. All right, and that's where it ends. You all, the three of you, all finally stumble and spill a little bit about the same time, and there's a huge uproarious applause and cheering.
Jandira is rigging it so that he goes before Eddie does.
Understood.
When Eddie goes down, he just lays down on the ground, possibly soaking wet because of the buckets, and just stares up at the sky, eyes unfocused, trying not to think about the muscles that he didn't know he had, explaining to him that, yes, in fact, they do exist, and would like to speak to the manager.
Now the grand feast commences, after you recover, of course, a little bit, and much wonderful, delicious food is had and imbibed. After dinner, there's a dais, you know, a large stage set up. On the stage are the tile draw tables are placed. And you start to see a group of three tiles placed on the tables for each of you, face down. people start to get very solemn, very quiet. The mayor gets up on the stage, raises his hand. A hush falls over the square. Looks around at all the gathered Redfielders. Eyes kind but steady, he speaks. There comes a moment, every season of life, where we stand at the edge of what was and take our first steps into what will be. For generations beyond count, Redfield has trusted the wisdom of the Taldraw, not as chance, but as guidance, not as lottery, but as revelation. Each tile, chosen not at random, by the needs of the land, the shape of the soul that draws it. Some of you dream one path, others of anything but a certain path. Some of you still do not know what path you hope for at all. But Taldraw sees more than wishes. You are no longer children now, yet not quite the people you will become. But you are ready. Ready to take your place in the weave of Redfield. To lend your hands, your hearts, your hopes to something greater than yourselves. It is not an ending, it is a beginning. It is your beginning. Step forward, children of Redfield, together as one. Gestures to the table where the velvet-draped tiles wait in their shallow wooden bowl, faintly catching the firelight. A hush falls again, this time. Going to step forward?
Well, yeah. Everybody gotta.
All right. Sure. You all step forward.
She is scritching her terrible rooster's feathers around its head and his head and watching carefully.
Everybody's waiting, expected. Right as you're all about to tile draw, hear a horn, a sound that hasn't been heard in Redfield inside of living memory. It's the horn of a member of one of the Watchers. What was that?
I made a bad joke.
As they hear the sound, the crowd starts to talk and react, some with rising panic. And shortly thereafter, a member of the Watch, the old veteran and former captain of the Watch, Harleth, rides into the center of everything wildly, his horse fully lathered and blown from hard-pressed riding. He is bloody, riddled with arrows, his shield is sundered, his horn barely clutched in his hand. He's clearly on death's door. The horse and commotion knock over the tables. The tiles go flying into the air. They hit the ground and disappear with a hiss.
Hey, help him! Relan, help me get him down!
Captain Rowan and the others get him out of the saddle and to the ground. He starts babbling about monstrous creatures, overwhelming numbers, and fires. It came from the west! He's been riding nonstop for 2 days. He struck hard and fast. The Thara was slain. Families butchered in their beds. Great burble of blood comes up from inside of him as he reaches out and grabs you, Eddie. Yes, you. A desperate look. But it only lasts half a breath as another bubble of blood comes out, smearing the front of your tunic. His eyes fade. He dies. Right there in your hands, his body going limp, his blood-stained hand trails down your clothes. That is where we're going to end the first session. Thank you, everybody, so much for playing. Been joined by a bunch of wonderful people, including Beth, Ash, Ellie, and Io. Who would like to plug a thing?
By tradition, Io's mom writes books, and you can see them at elizabethmccoy.com, and if you are dubious about whether you want them, they're ebooks, so you ask your local library to buy them because they're very cheap for libraries. So then you read them for free, and I get paid, and everybody's happy. And speaking of things that are happy-making.
I'm a playwright, for those of you who do not know. If anybody's interested in learning about the plays I have available for production, they could email me at paultheplaywright.us@gmail.com. And speaking about other things that have our names in it.
Well, not that have our names in it, but shout out to Kevin McLeod from Incompetech.com He's the one who made the intro and outro music for this episode, Truth of the Legend and Strength of the Titans. You can get both of those from incompetech.com. They are licensed under a Creative Commons attribution license, and that's why we get to use it. But things that have our names in them, or my name at least, we take all these episodes and put them over on aaronbsmith.com without ads. If you're hearing ads in these episodes, you're getting them from somewhere else. Instead, go to aaronbsmith.com and you don't get ads. We also have a Patreon, patreon.com/cogwheelgaming. Help us keep the lights on along with other illustrious patrons, including Ellie, Liv, Paul, Shanshan, Walter, and patron emeritus Cindy.
Ah, and until next time, this is Paul saying thank you so much for everybody paying attention and with us tonight. And I know Beth and Crash like to end with something wonderful in character. I'll just say that upon the passing of Captain Harleth, a great commotion begins to stir, and almost as if mob mentality is about to break out, Captain Rowan takes up the horn and gives it a blow, and everybody seems to she says, "Everyone, be still." Thank you all, and good night.
And now you all have an asset in having a wonderful bi-yearly celebration that is not interrupted by any kind of adventure whatsoever. Everyone here needed one of those assets. Apparently too late for them.
That's true. That's the truth.
At least their village hasn't been burned down. Again?
Yet.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Maybe next week I'll get to make an appearance.